So yeah, good morning from my side. My name is Stoffel, those of you who don't know me. Stoffel Fourie. I'm not going to talk much about myself because it's not about me. As we know, it's all about Jesus, and he's here, and he's in such a good mood, and he's got so much in store for each and every one of you this morning. I'm just so excited. Those of you who remember, I think about 3 weeks ago on the 25th of January, Andries preached a sermon, and the sermon was called Finishing the Work. Just basically about applying what we've been taught and learned through all these years and just finishing the work and talking about bringing in the harvest. And he just asked me to, this morning, to just carry on with that sermon. So I'm just going to touch on that a bit, where he basically spoke about that there's a huge harvest out there, and the harvest is white, meaning that it's ripe and it's ready for picking, and if we wait too long, it's going to get bad. And he just said, like, let's just go out, let's just be deliberate, let's go out and just bring in this harvest. But he asked me to just, let's make it practical, because, I mean, if you look at a 10-hectare harvest out there, and you're one person, and you're just like, sure, where do I start? It's the thing of, how do you eat the elephant? It's bit by bit. But sometimes it can be intimidating. Sometimes when we go out into our workplaces and wherever we are, we find ourselves, when we look at the world and we look at the people that don't know Jesus, it can be quite intimidating. It can be like, yes, Lord, look at all the pain and the suffering and the government and everything that's going on. And that's what the enemy wants to do, is just intimidate us. And then we just fall back and it's like, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to leave it. But I really just prayed about this. And the Lord just laid a word on my heart. And he said to me, and you can put up the slides, because I want to just read it. You can go to the first, said Seeing Jesus is the title. But then in John 5 verse 19, it says, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So we see Jesus gives us a key here, and he says, I can do nothing of myself, but what I see my Father do, I do in like manner. So Jesus just walked on this earth, and his eyes was focused on his Father. He was focused on his dad, and he just like, whatever I see my daddy do, that I'm going to do in like manner. I'm also just going to do that. And I think when we look at that, it makes it so simple. It boils it down to, instead of just being overwhelmed at everything that's going on in the world and the people, family members and people out there that are struggling and going through a tough time and that's not knowing Jesus and they're not saved. And instead of just focusing on that, we see that Jesus went and he focused on his Father. And it's similar with us. Instead of just focusing on that, is to focus on Jesus. And just say, okay, Jesus, let's do this. I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to do what you are doing. I'm going to do exactly, if I see you going there, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you are doing. I'm going to focus on what you are doing. Do you know what's the key to stay encouraged in this world? I know there's an enemy out there that wants to discourage Christians all the time. He wants to quiet you. He wants to just put you, make you fearful and put you in the corner. But one of the keys, there are many keys, but one of the main keys to stay encouraged in this world is to not focus on what God is not doing. Not to focus on the lack in your life or the lack in society, but rather to focus on what he is doing. To rather ask that question, not like, Lord, look at all of this and this and this, but rather ask the question, Lord, what are you doing in Hermanus? Did you know that God is always busy doing amazing stuff? He's always busy doing supernatural stuff that that will just blow our minds, but we are not aware of it. Many times, I can promise you, in Hermanus, and I include myself in this, God is doing amazing things in Hermanus that myself and all of us sitting here are not aware of. Because that's just who He is. He's a supernatural God that's all-powerful. And sometimes when I hear the stories, I don't know about you, but when I hear the stories of what God is doing in the world and in Hermanus and in South Africa and everywhere, I always like, yes, Lord, I want to be a part of that. Count me in. I want to be a part of that. And that doesn't mean like I'm going to go on world missions and quit my job. And that's not what I'm referring to. It's right here in Hermanus. Because He's the same here as He is out there. He's the same God. He's the same Holy Spirit. And I'm just like, Lord, I want to be a part of that. But like I said, the key is to really just, okay, Jesus, show me what You're doing. And I want to challenge you in this week and in this week's coming, as you go to your work, as you go, whatever you do, just when you wake up in the morning, just say, Jesus, show me what You're doing today. And I can promise you, you are going to be so surprised. You are going to be blown away as you just focus on Him and not on the problem. As you focus on what He's doing and not on the lack. As you pray for people, this is one principle that the Lord has taught me from when I was a young Christian. We were in ministry and we were students and we were praying a lot for people. And the Lord taught me and He said, Sofo, when you pray for someone, like I prayed now, He taught me, He said, don't look at the person. Don't look at the sickness. Don't look at the problem. Look at Me. So you'll see often when I pray for someone, you'll see me just watching over their shoulder. And I'm looking at Jesus. And when I look at Him and I see Him, and it's not this super spiritual thing of like, yes, I must see. How do we see Jesus practically? It's very easy. It's by imagination. Because you are a new creation, you have a sanctified mind. You have the mind of Christ. And we call it a sanctified imagination. And it's inspired by the Holy Spirit because you are a new creation. When you give your heart to Jesus, the Bible says, the old things have passed away, the new things have come. That means that you're a new creation, and the Bible says that you've got the mind of Christ. So basically, like I said, it's very easy. It's by your imagination. It's not this, each and every one of you sitting here, I'm actually running ahead of my sermon, but each and every one of you sitting here can see Him. If you are born again and you've given your heart, you can see Him. If you close your eyes and you just, it's through your imagination. It's so easy. It's not this hard, difficult thing that's just for some people. But coming back, like I said, when we look at this harvest and we're like, Lord, You've done something in my life that is so amazing. You've changed my life. You've saved me. You've pulled me out of darkness into Your marvelous light. And we know that feeling of like it's burning inside of you. And like, Lord, I want to give this to everybody that I know. It's almost like you've got the cure to cancer and you just want to run wild and just go and tell everyone. But sometimes you've got that feeling, but then you feel intimidated. And you're like, yes, Lord, but there's so many people. And there's so many people that's unsaved. Like I said, the key is just look at Him. And He's going to lead you and He's going to guide you to bring in that harvest. I want to tell you a quick story of just the whole thing of looking at Jesus and what He's doing. Now, seeing Jesus, when I refer to seeing Jesus, I'm not just referring to seeing Him in your imagination or just being aware of Him. I'm referring to hearing His voice. I'm referring to just experiencing His presence. I'm referring to just all of that, just the whole package of our relationship with Him. As we know, He loves to touch us. He loves to speak to us. He loves to reveal Himself. So when I refer to seeing Jesus, I'm referring to what is your revelation of who Jesus is? That's actually what I'm referring to. What is your personal revelation of who Jesus is? Just ask yourself that question. Like, how do I see Him? Who is He to me? Like, because it's a personal thing. I heard this story of, many of you maybe don't know, but my wife and my beautiful wife, Linda, she's sitting here in the front. We went to America, and we were in California at a Bible school there, and it was just there was revival taking place. But there was other churches where the fire went and just revival taking place. And there's, I heard a story of this one, this prophet guy in this church. And he was walking down the corridor and this lady came to him and said, "Excuse me, sir, like, I was just diagnosed with cancer. They gave me 6 months to live. And I just want a word from God. Just because you're a prophet and I just want a word from God." And the guy was just like, "Yeah, sure, like, let's pray." And he started praying for her. And instead of giving her a word, he heard Jesus saying, "Tell her to ask me what I want to reveal to her about myself in this season." Okay? I'm going to put the question again. Ask the Lord, he told the lady, he said, "Ask Jesus, ask God, in this difficult season that, like, you're diagnosed with cancer, you've got 6 months to live, what does he want to reveal about himself, about his person, about his character, about his personality to you in this season?" And the lady was like, "Okay, whatever, like, I've got 6 months to live, I'll do it." So she went away that night and she prayed and she said, "Jesus, what do you want to show me? What do you want to reveal of yourself to me?" And the next day she saw the prophet, and the prophet asked, like, "What happened?" Because he said to her, like, "And then just wait. Just be patient, just wait, and let's see what God does." And the next day the guy asked, like, "What had happened?" And she said, "No, nothing happened." And it carried on, like, I think for 2 weeks. Like, 2 or 3 weeks, like, nothing happened. And he could see this lady was getting a bit discouraged. And anyhow, the next day, whatever, the lady came running to him and she was just so excited. And basically what happened was, she was in the grocery store and she saw an old friend that she last saw when she was at school, like, years and years back. And she saw an old friend and she was like, "Hi," and started chatting to her. And she had a little daughter with her. This friend of hers had a little daughter with her. And as they were chatting, that this little girl was pulling on her mommy's dress and saying, "Mommy, mommy, mommy." And the lady was like, "Just, I'm busy speaking. Like, just wait. And when I'm finished, you can speak to me." And they would chat again. And then the little girl was just like, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, mommy." And the lady was just like, just wait. And eventually, like, the little girl just couldn't keep it in any longer. And the little girl said to her, "Mommy, that's the lady. That's the lady that I saw in my dream." So basically what happened was, the very day after this lady prayed that prayer, this little girl that's never seen her before in her life had a dream. And in this dream, Jesus was sitting at his desk, and there was this photo on his desk. And Jesus and the little girl came into Jesus' office, and she saw this picture, and the girl was like, Jesus said to her, "Do you see this lady?" And the girl was like, "Yes, I've never seen her before, but okay." And then Jesus said, "I wrote a note for this lady, and I want you to give her this note when you see her." And but she was dreaming, and Jesus gave her this, like, a little piece of paper that was folded, and Jesus gave her the note. And but the amazing thing is, when that little girl woke up, she had a physical piece of paper in her hand. So this girl had this piece of paper in her hand, and for weeks she was walking around and just like, she don't know, she's never seen this lady before, but she had this note and she kept the note with her all the time. And then, as you know, like, this was the lady that she saw in a dream. So she was, "Mommy, mommy, this is the girl." And the little girl took out the note and she gave this note to the lady. And the lady opened up the note, and the note just basically said, it was a handwritten note, and it said, "I am the God that healeth you, that heals you." And as soon as she read that note, she instantly got healed supernaturally from cancer. No one prayed for her. She just read that note, and she got instantly healed, and she's completely healed till this day. She's completely healed. That's a good story right there. I want to ask you the same question. Whatever you are facing right now, if it's difficult or if it's joyful, I want to, just as you sit there, just quickly, just ask him, Lord, what do you want to reveal about yourself to me? Just, I mean, it's quick. It's a 1 second prayer. Because he is so good. And let me just say, like, if you're going through tough times, it's important to know that if there's stealing and killing and destroying in your life, it's not God. It's the devil. Okay? Jesus told us that clearly in John 10. He said, the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy. And he said, right after that, he said, but I came to give you life, and life in abundance. So if there's killing, stealing, and destroying in your life, it's not from God, it's from the enemy. If there's life and joy in your life, then you know it's from God, then you know it's from Jesus. But the good news is, if there's killing, stealing, and destroying happening in your life, Romans 8 tells us that God uses everything for your good. He uses everything for your good. He can turn any situation around. So when there's stuff coming that's not nice and not good, then you know, wow, my next upgrade is due. There's a fresh revelation of who God is due for me. There's a fresh understanding of who He is due for me. So, I mean, the enemy throws all this stuff at you, but he's actually working against himself. Because he's bringing this killing, stealing, and destroying, and God takes that, which is bad, and He turns it around, and He gives you a fresh revelation of His provision, of His protection, of His love, of His goodness. And the devil is just defeated again. So, yeah, you pray that prayer, so let's be expectant. Let's see. Please come and share some stories of just, it can be something small, it can be something big. But the bottom line is that he wants to be known. Did you know that psychologists in all their studies, they found that one of the basic needs of any human being is the need to be known. It's not just to know other people, but you've got a need to be known as well. You want people to know you. And it's the same because you're made in the image of God. God is the same. He wants to be known. He's not hiding from you. He's hiding for you. He's playing hide and seek with you. But it's not that He doesn't want you to find Him. He wants you to find Him. But it's only those who are hungry that's going to just do a little bit of seeking, and they'll find Him. And they'll be blown away because He wants to be known. And we know that in heaven, as we're sitting here, the angels are singing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Do you know why they're doing it? Because every moment of every day, they're seeing a fresh revelation, a fresh aspect of who God is. And they're just blown away. Every time, they just see something else from God. Wow, that's amazing. Wow, holy, holy. Wow, I've never seen that before. Wow, they're just constantly in awe of who God is. And that's the same way we can be. It's not hidden from us. God wants to reveal Himself. He wants you to know Him. We can go on to the next scripture. It's before I'm going to read that scripture. Why do we come to church? There's many reasons why we come to church, but what is the main reason why we come to church? I want to submit to you that the main reason why we come to church is to see Jesus. It's to worship Him. It's to magnify Him. It's to glorify Him. But it's to get a fresh revelation of who He is. Because your worship, the level of your worship, if I may put it like that, is directly linked to your revelation of who Jesus is. Your level of worship is directly linked to your revelation of who God is. And as you see more of Him, and as you get to know Him better, you just see, like, your worship, like... When you sometimes you stand in worship, whom of you have seen you stand in worship and then there's one person and they're really just getting it? I mean, they're just going wild and they're dancing and going wild and whatever. And it's so easy for us to, like, look at that person, like, oh my hat. That's so undignified. But you know, probably they've seen something that you've not seen. They've probably seen an aspect of God. Those angels, and they're just in awe. They can't help themselves. It's like David dancing in front of the ark, and his wife was just judging him, and it's like, yeah, I can't believe he's dancing in his underpants. But David is like, I don't care anymore. Like, the presence of God is back in my life. I'm going to rejoice because there's nothing more precious than His presence. So it's the same when you come to church. When you come to church, you must come like, Stoffel, preach Jesus. Stoffel, show me more of Jesus. Reveal Christ to me in the Word of God. Show Christ to me in the Word, because the whole Bible is just filled with shadows and symbolisms of Christ, of who He is. And as we see Him for who He is, then this scripture comes into play, and it says, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Okay, so we're seeing Him. We're beholding His glory. Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, so what does it say? Basically, when we see Jesus for who He really is, we are transformed into that same image. So coming to church is not so much about, how do I do this, Stoffel? How do I do this? How do I live my life? But rather it's, look, I want to see Jesus. And when I see Him, I get transformed into the same image. And then everything else flows out of that. If you're sitting here and you're struggling with sin, if you're sitting here and you're struggling with bad habits in your life, or just, I don't know what, but the answer is not do this and do that. The answer is to see Jesus, to see that aspect of Him. And when you see that, you'll see that automatically you are transformed into the same image. That's what that scripture says. So it's actually, He made it so easy. He didn't make it complicated. He didn't make it hard. It's not rocket science. It's supposed to work for little kiddies. Do you know that there's kiddies that experiences more of God and walks more in the kingdom and see more miracles than most grown people? Because they keep it simple. They just focus on Jesus. They just have a revelation of Him. And it just, everything just flows out of that. I want to tell you another story. This other preacher guy that I know, he just went into ministry. He just came out of college, also an American guy. He just went into ministry and he had his first speaking arrangement. Like, he was preaching for the first time. And he was like prepared and fired up and, yes, I'm going to preach and I was born for this and, yes, come on, Lord, and what. And he was just halfway through his sermon and there was this church and there was an old lady sitting there in the front, and this old lady died. She had a heart attack and she died in the middle of the service. And he was just like, oh, my head, Lord, what? How can that, are you against me or like, don't you want me to preach? Like, how can that happen? So he stops, and people call the ambulance, obviously, and now it's like, okay, now they're just waiting. And the next moment, there's a little girl stood up, and the lady was lying there, and like there was doctors in the church, and they like certified her as dead and whatever. And this little girl, it was her grandmother, and this little girl climbs on a chair above her grandmother, and she starts rebuking death over this lady's life. She's just like, this is my grandmother. You're not going to take her. I rebuke you, death, and I speak life over my grandmother. And she just carries on doing that for 10 minutes. And this guy is just standing there, and he doesn't know what to do. He's just like, he's mad at God. He's like, what? And this girl is just going on. And after 15 minutes, he was like, okay, I should probably like just go and speak to the poor girl because it's her grandmother and she's like. And he goes over to this little girl. And he says to her, like, he taps her, like, honey, it's over. Like, you know, just like. And this girl turns around and says, get behind me, Satan. I know what I'm doing. And after 20 minutes, they could hear the sirens of the ambulance. But not, I mean, they weren't in much of a hurry because she was already dead. They were just fetching the body. And they heard the sirens of the ambulance coming in. And as they heard the sirens, sure enough, this old lady started coughing, and she got up, and she started praising Jesus in that service. And She was there in the corner, and the ambulance people came in, and they wanted to take her and just go do tests and whatever. And she was standing, and she was like, "I'm not going to the hospital. I just got raised from the dead. I'm going to praise Jesus right now." And basically, like I said, that lady lived, I think, for I don't know how many years after that. She carried on living, and she was 100% fine. But that guy tells this testimony. He said, "That day, I saw Jesus as the resurrection and the life." That day, he had a revelation of Jesus. You know, in John 11, Jesus tells Martha, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he tells him, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Because Mary told Jesus, and he said, "Yes, I know my brother will be raised in the resurrection one day." And Jesus says, "No, I am the resurrection and the life." And Lazarus got raised from the dead. And that guy said, that day he had a revelation of Jesus as the resurrection, as the life. And it transformed his life so much that he himself saw three people raised from the dead after that. And that's how the kingdom works. When you see it, you get that revelation, it becomes a part of you, and it happens in your life. So if there's an area in your life that you feel like, "Yes, Stoffel, I want to grow in that. I lack a bit in this area." It's easy. Just go and hang out with someone that's victorious in that area. Just see someone operate in that area. See them operating victoriously in that area. Just hang out. Just hang around. You don't even have to ask them, like, "How do you do it?" or what. Just hang around them. Just check it. That's why I asked you to come and see. When I prayed for this lady, that's why I asked you to come. Just come and look. You don't have to do anything. Just come and look. Because as you see, and as you see this stuff happen, your faith level starts to grow. And before you know it, it starts happening in your life. So, yeah, he made it easy. He really, really made it easy. Okay, we can go to the next slide. I'm just going to do some scriptures. Basically, all the scriptures that's going to come now is just confirming what was explaining now. And it's 2 Peter 1:2 says, "Grace and peace." Who wants more peace in your life? Now, peace is not just this feeling. It is the feeling of a sense of peace. But the word peace, we all know, is the word shalom, which means wholeness. It's just every area of your life is whole and prosperous and doing well. Okay, so Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So who wants to multiply in peace and in grace? All of us. How does it happen? Very easy. Like I said, the reason why we come to church is to see Jesus. Through the knowledge of God, through the knowledge of Jesus, grace and peace is multiplied in your life. It's so easy. It's just, you look at him, you focus on him, and you see, wow, man, stuff is happening. Grace and peace is multiplying in my life. The next one is 2 Peter 1. Oh, it goes on and says, sorry, you can go back to the next slide. As his divine power has given to us all things, again, we see that. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, again, we see, like I said, it's not, we don't come to church to find out how we do stuff, because that scripture tells us that as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Who of you know that that includes everything? Life, our mundane stuff that we do every day, drive my car, go to work, love my wife. Like, it includes that in and godliness, our spiritual side. It includes everything. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Again, we see that principle. It happens through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's just all about him. It's just all about him. As we look at him, he makes it easy. We can go to the next slide. So, the next few verses, I just want to touch a little bit on who he is. Just the basics that we see in the Word of God. And you'll see, like, there's some amazing stuff there. Colossians 1:15. I want to challenge you. Go and read Colossians 1 and 2. Because Colossians 1 and 2 is Paul explaining to a church that he's never been to who Jesus Christ is. So Colossians 1 verse 15 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So do you want to know how God looks like? Just look at Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. You can go to the next slide. For it pleased the Father that in him, talking about Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. Okay, so all the fullness is in him. You can go on to the next slide. In whom are hidden, talking about Jesus again, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So again, if you are lacking wisdom, if you're lacking knowledge, it's found in him. You can go on to the next one. Colossians 2 verse 9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So all of us know that when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose in a bodily form. Okay? So Jesus has a heavenly body just like you and I. He was raised in a bodily form when he was raised from the dead. And Paul says, the fullness of the Godhead. Who knows, that is quite big. That is huge. The fullness of the Godhead, the Father and the Holy Spirit is in him bodily. That scripture just blows my mind every time I read it. The fullness of the Godhead is in Christ bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You are way more complete than what you think. Because you are in him. And the fullness of God is inside of him. You are complete. It's such a place of security. It's such a place of safety. It's such a place of rest. It's such a place of peace, like just being in Christ. You are complete. Was the fullness of the Godhead is in your body. You can go on to the next one. Okay, so this is quite a big one. It says, Colossians 1 verse 27, it says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So Paul is speaking to the Colossians, he says, God has revealed the mystery. After he was raised from the dead, God revealed this great mystery that all the prophets prophesied, the whole Old Testament, and the New Testament, this mystery was revealed. And he said, this is the gospel that I go out and preach to the churches and to Asia and all those places. And he says, and then he says, this is the mystery. It says, mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about this because this is a complete sermon on its own. But just think with me for 1 second here. So we saw that the full Godhead is in Christ bodily. The fullness of God. Now, I think many of you have seen those movies of the stars and how big the stars is in the galaxies. And then we know like God is even bigger than that. But the fullness of that is in Christ bodily. And then Paul goes on in the same chapter and he says, but that person of Christ is in you. So, you are much bigger on the inside than what you are on the outside. You are much bigger on the inside than what you are on the outside. You have the capacity, the same capacity that the universe has to carry the stars. You have that same capacity. God has created you that way to carry that fullness inside of you, the fullness of Jesus Christ. Okay, so I mean, that is, but I'll probably speak about that more in future days, but I mean, that's wow. That's just amazing. Let me quickly tell you a quick story. Some of you know about John G. Lake. Okay, some of you know. John G. Lake was this missionary that came to South Africa in the early 1900s. And he was just this man of God, just miracles all over the place, like just amazing testimonies that took place. But in those years that he was here, there was the Black Plague was in South Africa. And the Black Plague, they actually found out later, was similar to Ebola. And the Black Plague was killing entire villages in South Africa. And then this one time, John G. Lake was just like, you must go and pray for that village. And then he would stand on a hill, and he would just see the people dying in at the bottom. And the doctors would tell him, you're crazy. You can't go in there. You're going to die if you go in there. Those people, one of the most infectious diseases. You can't touch those people. You're going to be infected, and you're going to die. And John is just like, I don't care. Like, I know Christ is in me. I'm going to go, and I'm going to pray. And he went into those villages, and everyone got healed that he prayed for. Of the black plague. And the doctors were so blown away by this, because they stood from afar and looked at it. And they actually went to him and said, like, this is a medical miracle. Like, we want to examine you. And he said, yeah, sure. So they took him, and they took a drop of his blood, and they put it under a microscope, and they took the virus, the black virus, black plague virus, and they put it into his blood. And the amazing thing that happened was that the virus died. They thought, like, this virus is going to attack the white blood cells and attack this blood and whatever. And the weird thing is that this virus died. Okay, but I'm not going to go much further into that. Like I said, God does wonders and does miracles and wonders so that we can wonder. We're just like, wow, I'm in awe of that. I don't understand how that works, but I'm in awe of that. But it comes down to this principle that Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, like I said last time I preached here, you are way more powerful than what you actually realize. Okay, we can go on to the next slide. Okay. So, I'm going to finish off now with this. Carmen, if the band want to come up, you can come to the front. My wife is also going to say something at the end. But whom of you know that, say you woke up this morning. And when you woke up this morning, Jesus was standing right next to your bed. In a physical form, he was standing there right next to your bed. And you woke up and you was like, wow, Jesus. And you and Jesus had this chat this morning, and just like you ask him how's his day, and he's asking you how your day, and ask him how your day is gonna be, and whatever you talk about, and say you had that experience this morning. Whom of you think that you have had a bit of a different day so thus far? I think most of us will say that if we had an experience like that this morning, our day would have been a bit different, probably. Like, there would probably been a bit more joy. Our worship would have been just off the charts now. I mean, you would have just loved everybody that you came in contact with. Like, I mean, your day would have just been completely different. But do you know that the truth is that that actually happened this morning? But we're just not aware of it. The truth is that Jesus was there next to your bed. He was there. And like I said, we just get so rushed and we just wake up and what. And he's there. The good news is that he's there still now. Because the Bible tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And not just that. Like I said, that scripture, he's inside of you. And making this practical, because I mean, I've said a lot of stuff, and it's like, okay, so wow, that's amazing, and it's out there, but what does that mean to me right now? And the thing is this, there was this monk that wrote this book, and he said, practicing the presence of God. And he started practicing, he was washing the dishes. And all the other monks was reading their Bibles and singing songs. And I don't know what monks, whatever monks do to seek God. But this monk was washing the dishes. He was like a young monk. And as he was washing the dishes, the presence of God would just come and just flood over him. And he would just have this amazing communion with God while he was washing the dishes. And a God started revealing him. And then he would go to the garden and he would work in the garden. And he would just have this amazing fellowship with God in the garden. And to make it practical is that He's there all the time. Wherever we go, whatever you do, He's there, whether you are aware of it or not. There's this lady that wrote it, said, every bush is a burning bush, but just some of us take off our shoes. And it's just coming to that place where we start to, just to teach ourselves, just to start to recognize that. To start to recognize that He's there. And He wants to reveal Himself. He wants to show Himself to us. He wants to have fellowship. Because, I mean, all those things that I'm saying is about the relationship. I'm seeing Him, hearing His voice, experiencing His presence. And there's times in my life where I drive in my car on my way to work and I will just know, He's here. And I mean, I don't even speak to Him. I don't even hear His voice in some cases, but I just know, like, He's here. And it's like it all the time, like I said. But it's just teaching ourselves to become more aware of it as we go in life. And we see this scripture, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, the scripture says that eternal life, as we all know, eternal life is a gift of God. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's for free. But then we see in John 17, verse 3, so what is eternal life? And it says, and this is eternal life. This is Jesus speaking. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is a relationship with God. And that relationship with God is a free gift. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. What do you do with a gift? If my wife comes and gives me a Valentine's gift, what do? I just receive it. And it's like, oh, thank you. That's what you do with a gift. So eternal life and this relationship, this thing that I was talking about, this revelation of who Jesus Christ is, this relationship with Him, this just getting to know Him better, experiencing His presence, hearing His voice, it's a gift. And it's free. And I just want each and every one of you, just as you said there, just let's just close our eyes and I just want you afresh receive this gift. Just become aware of Him sitting there right next to you. And just receive that free gift. It's free. Just receive. Just don't try and work. Don't try and perform. Don't try to say. Don't try even to speak. Just receive. And if there's some of you sitting here and just like, Stoffel, I don't know what you're talking about. This feels so far away from me. It's so easy. Salvation is just so easy. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if there's anybody like here, and you say, Lord, Stoffel, I just want to make right with God. I want to experience that what you were talking about, but I know I must first make right with God. If there's anybody like that, while all the eyes are closed, just put up your hand. Just quickly, just raise your hand. Just quickly. I see that hand there. Back. Anybody else? Just say, Stoffel, I just want to make right with God this morning. Okay, so if you've raised your hand, I'm just going to quickly just pray with you. You can just say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Come and take my life. If you want to be saved, if you want to know God, just pray this in your heart, just softly, in your heart with me. Just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just come and take my life. I surrender it all to you. Just come and take my life. And then just say, thank you, Father, that I am your child now. Thank you, Father, that I am your child, that I am a part of your family. Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to stay in this atmosphere. I'm just going to give over to my lovely wife. And she just want to minister.
Last night while Stoffel was preparing for his sermon, I was also preparing, because that's what good wives do. We prepare for husbands. And I was just praying. I couldn't sleep. And I was praying about today and the message that he wants to share. And then God just dropped something in my spirit, and I'm going to sort of explain it by through my marriage. Stoffel is a very good husband, and for those who know him will testify how good he is towards me as his wife. But if I'm angry at him, or I've got offense in my heart towards him, I won't receive that goodness towards me. He will be good. His character is not changing. He's a good God. He's a good God. Man. God, man. He's a good husband. But because I have something in my heart that's not right with him, I can't receive that love. And it's very similar, it's exactly the same with our relationship with God. While Stoffel was speaking, he was sharing extreme stories, and I'm one of the first ones that will tell you openly, I'm undignified for God. Sometimes I do a lot of crazy things that I know my mother, my sister's like, we don't know her. But I've received that love in my heart from him. I've received the revelation from him because I sorted out the offense in my heart towards him. And I just felt last night, God is saying, Linda, I love my people so much. And there's so many people that I want to bless abundantly. And I do bless them, but they miss it because they offended towards me. Any kind, maybe a message that offended you about God, or a miracle, or you were trusting God for something and didn't come through and you got offended by him and his ways. And I just want to pray into that this morning. So please close your eyes. Just receive. Father, we thank you for your amazing, amazing goodness. We just want to say we know that you're a good God. We know that you look after us as your children. You give us strength when it's needed. You give us hope when it's needed. And Father, I just pray for each one of us that struggles with offense in our hearts towards you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come in now and just remove it. Father, if this offense happens through a relationship with someone else, I just pray that that relationship will be restored. And whatever the disappointment is towards you, Father God, I pray, Holy Spirit, just remove it. To make it easy, you can just hand it over. Just imagine you handing it to Jesus, that offense, that disappointment, whatever it is, just imagine handing it over to Jesus. Amen. I'm going to end with a small testimony because I want to make it practical. Stoffel has been sharing a lot of wayward stories, and we can keep you busy with a lot of crazy stories, but this week I was reminded of something that happened to me about 7 years ago. I was one of a group of friends that went to visit the islands, you know, in Asia, and we went on a bike ride around one of the islands, and it's a very small miracle, but an amazing miracle. And we saw a beautiful beach as big as Grotto, and we stopped and we had pizzas and we were swimming in the ocean, a lot of big fun. And as we finished, about 4 or 5 hours later, wanting to go back to the hotel, one of my friends realized that he put the key of one of the bikes in his pocket and he went swimming in the ocean, and the key is now in the ocean. And if you know any of the islanders, that's the only income. And that's the only key to that bike. So obviously they were very, very angry that we lost the key. And we're all looking for this key. And I don't know if any one of you have lost a key in the ocean before, but it's sort of an impossible task. And we've been looking for this key for about 2 hours. We've got goggles on, swimming in the ocean, trying to find the key. But literally, it's where do you find a key in the middle of the ocean? And I'm standing on the beach, and God is speaking to me, and he said to me, Linda, do you want to find the key? And I'm like, no, not really, no. We're just standing here. We don't want to find the key. Obviously, we want to find the key. And then he said to me, do exactly what I say. And this is what I call stepping over the chicken line. If God says, do exactly what I say, then you have to know undignified is coming with it. Like it sort of goes hand in hand. So I'm like, okay, Father, I will do exactly what you tell me to do. And he said, walk into the ocean. There's a lot of people on the beach by now looking for the key. And he said, walk into the ocean, turn on your back, and just float. Just keep on floating. And in my back of my mind, I realized how crazy this will look to the rest of the people finding the key, I'm floating and having a ball of a time, and they're scrambling trying to find the key. And I walk into the ocean on my back, starting to float. And obviously my friends are like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Shouting at me. But I'm like, this is what God is telling me to do. So I'm floating. And then God says, stand. And as I put my foot down, I stepped on the key and I pulled it out. And I got the key in the ocean. And to me, that was just something personal, a key, so small. Like, we don't even think about asking God for helping us with keys. But that's who He is. He loves to share your everyday life with you. And last week, just to recap the story, because that happened in my, what Stoffel said, that revelation happened in my life. Last week, we went away again, a group of friends, again to the beach. And one of my friends lost the keys. And they're all looking for the keys. And I'm like, but I'm pregnant, so I'm very slow nowadays. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this story about this key, the thing that happened to me. And I said to God, hey, God, maybe we should find the key. And just as I finished praying it, my friend is like, I found the key. And she pulled it out and she found it. And that just testified to me that the key revelation was already part of my life. And the moment I stepped into that history that I have with God, the key was revealed. So I want to really challenge you guys. Step over the chicken line. Go for gold. Go and find that special moment that you can share with God during the week.
Thank you, my love. That was so powerful. And again, I want to just, what she said, I think it's so important. It's just go and have fun with Jesus. Because as we have fun with Him, stuff happens. People get saved. Lives get transformed. Because that's another side of Him that we can get to know. I know there was a season in my life where Jesus started to reveal to me how funny He is. And that He can tell a joke. And then we would laugh together. And just the other side of Him. And as we go out, I know these students where we were in America, like, they would just go out into the malls and they would just worship. They would just stand in a circle, go into a forest and just worship. And then people would just come and join them. And they would just lead the people to the Lord by just doing that. Because evangelism is just the overflow of worship. It's just as we are in awe of Jesus and as we are living with Him and walking with Him, and He speaks through us, and we just gives prophetic words. Like, a prophetic word to someone out there is so powerful. And at the same time, it's fun for us in the process. So I just want to encourage you, just go out and enjoy Jesus as we go out. Let's just stand, and I'm going to close off, and I'm going to ask Carmen to, let's just sing one song. If you have to go, you're welcome to leave. But let's just sing one song. Let's just worship. Let's go wild and celebrate Jesus, because it's all about Him. We're opening up the altar here. If you want prayer for anything, just come to the front and we'll pray for you. Those of you that have given your heart to Jesus, we want to chat to you and get to know you better. Just come to the front and chat to us. But yeah, let's just worship, and may you have an amazing week. Bless you. Amen.